This is Rush to Reason.
You are going to shut your damn yapper and listen for a change, because I got you pegged, sweetheart. You want to take the easy way out because you're scared. And you're scared because if you try and fail, there's only you to blame. Let me break this down for you. Life is scary. Get used to it. There are no magical fixes.
With your host, John Rush.
My advice to you is to do what your parents did. Get a job, sir.
You haven't made everybody equal. You've made them the same, and there's a big difference.
Let me tell you why you're here. You're here because you know something. What you know, you can't explain, but you feel it. You felt it your entire life, that there's something wrong with the world. You don't know what it is, but it's there. It is this feeling that has brought you to me.
Are you crazy? Am I? Or am I so sane that you just blew your mind?
It's Rush to Reason, brought to you by Absolute Electrical Heating and Air, with your host, John Rush.
And I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. We do appreciate each and every one of you tuning in today. Dr. Kelly Victory with me today. Welcome, Dr. Kelly. How are you?
Hey, I'm fine. It's been a crazy time lately with travel and COVID mania, but other than that, I'm just fine.
Glad you're here. Steve is out. He's got things going on today that he could not join us. He's actually got a good update on a meeting and some things that he had last night that the three of us were texting earlier today, so I'll save that probably for next week, Dr. Kelly. But yeah, lots going on. Where I was just even reading before we came on air today, you know, there's numerous spots around the country, no surprise, by the way, where, you know, COVID, I use that term loosely anymore because you wonder, is it just, you know, is the common cold completely gone, Dr. Kelly? I mean, is everything just now COVID no matter what anybody gets?
Well, that's the problem, John, is it's all been subsumed under the moniker of COVID, and who the heck knows what some of it is. You know, we haven't really heard much about influenza this whole past flu season. You aren't hearing anybody. Nobody just has the flu anymore. Nobody has a common cold anymore. Everything is COVID. And part of it, the problem is because of the testing that they're using. These PCR tests remain highly flawed, and we've known that from the beginning. So, yes, we're seeing increased cases of COVID because it is highly transmissible, very, very contagious. But you do wonder how many of these are actually COVID, or is that a false positive and the individual really has influenza or the common cold or any number of other viruses that
Correct.
Are out there?
Correct. And again, this, we've asked this and talked about this all the way through COVID, really, and that is the testing side of the fence, like you just said a moment ago. I mean, how accurate, especially some of the at-home, you know, you buy the kit in a box, and the government even has given a certain amount of those away. In fact, there's more of those available because they didn't give them all away, so our tax dollars are still at work, Dr. Kelly. But how accurate are those at-home tests?
Well, you know, we really don't know the answer to that. We know that there were a huge percentage of false positives from the very, very beginning. And what I mean by that is we know the gold standard when you swab something, if you do a throat swab for, say, strep, you know, and we developed rapid strep tests and rapid mononucleosis tests over the years. But the gold standard is that when you then take that swab and you take the time to do it in the non-rapid way, meaning the old-fashioned way,
okay,
you take out an agar plate and you smear it on the agar and you put it in an incubator and see if you can actually grow that bacteria or grow that virus. And what happened with the PCR test is we know that upwards of 90% of the swabs that came back saying, quote, positive, when you smeared it on, you know, viral growing medium, in other words, the most, you know, beneficial, best possible environment to grow the virus, that it didn't grow. So it's coming back as a positive test, but you can't grow it in an incubator, which really begs the question, was there actual virus there? Mm-hmm. Because I can tell you, if you get a positive rapid strep test, meaning you have strep throat, I promise you, if you take that Q-tip and that swab and you smear it on a plate and you put that plate in the incubator, you will grow strep bacteria.
Okay.
100% of the time. And so if you take a positive, quote unquote, COVID swab, but you can't grow it in the best possible conditions, meaning a viral growing medium in an incubator, then I can't say, no one, no clinician worth his or her salt would say that that was a legitimate positive test. So although I cannot say, because the studies haven't been done to show, you know, how accurate these home tests are, we've known from the beginning that there were a heck of a lot of false positives. Then you add on top of that, if I had a dime for every person who said to me, you know, yeah, I had a stuffy nose and I tested positive for COVID, I say, great, did you test for the common cold too? Did you test for the influenza?
Right,
right. The answer is no.
Right.
So we have no way of knowing. Everything is being attributed to COVID because that's the only thing we're testing for.
Great point. And we've never tested for anything like this, to my knowledge. We've never tested for anything like this before. I mean, I know in my lifetime, I've never seen us do anything along these lines. And I'm guessing prior to 1964, we didn't do it then either.
No, it's absolutely insane. And what we have never done, absolutely, John, is this asymptomatic testing. Mm. This is something that is absolutely unheard of and defies good medicine and good science. The concept of testing asymptomatic people and then calling them a case when they have nary a symptom.
Point.
I mean, we don't test people randomly for influenza or randomly for strep throat or randomly for any number of things.
Right.
Because we've always defined a case as someone who's actually having symptoms of it. And the idea, the fallacy, I will say, of asymptomatic spread was a big part of the fear-mongering that went on throughout this pandemic.
Good point.
The idea that, oh my gosh, you might be, quote, contracting COVID from the healthy person standing next to you.
Right.
In the past, we have called people who have no symptoms of anything, those are called healthy people, okay? That's what we define as healthy people. If you're walking around feeling great and have no symptoms, you're healthy, and you don't need to be testing randomly for something that you have no symptoms for.
Great point. I got a message this week, too, and I've got a few of these. And by the way, if you've got a question for Dr. Kelly, please text us. We'll get it asked quickly, 307-200-8222, 307-200-8222. So I got a message earlier this week, too, Dr. Kelly, where really along these lines, why I kind of started this way when it came to some of these tests and so on. Husband and wife. Both basically feeling exact same way within, you know, days of each other. One partner tests positive on an at-home test, other partner tests negative, yet they both have exactly the same symptoms, feel exactly the same way. So is it the fact that one of them has COVID and one doesn't, or does one just have a false positive?
Wait, and who the heck knows? Who knows, John? We really cannot say with any certainty at all. Is it that one has COVID and the other one has a common cold? Is it that they both have a common cold and one has a false positive for COVID? Mm. Or do they both have COVID and one's a false negative? Who the heck knows? Because, you know,
good point.
And frankly, I would then push it one step further, which is to say one of the first things you learn in medical school is not to do a test, the results of which will not change your behavior.
Good
okay?
point. Good
so
point.
Don't
yeah.
test for something. If you tested positive for COVID versus you tested positive and had a common cold, what would you do differently? You say, well, if I had COVID, I wouldn't go to the birthday party. Well, I'm here to tell you, if you have a cold, you shouldn't go to the birthday party either.
True.
Okay? Right? So all of this testing is one thing to test if people are really ill and we're trying to determine what interventions should we do. Would this person benefit from X, Y, or Z medication or treatment? But to be at home, have relatively mild symptoms, and say, oh, I think I'll test for COVID, why? Because what? How is that helping you? How is that useful? And what are you going to do differently if you found out that you had a common cold versus influenza versus COVID? What would you do differently?
Nothing. At the end of the day, you're all doing the same things to get better, right?
Exactly. And this isn't up until COVID. What I am saying right now, John, wasn't controversial.
True.
It was bedrock medical, this is what we did. We didn't do tests, the results of which would not change the intervention or anything that the individual was going to do. Now come along COVID, we've not only got to test people with extremely mild symptoms and try to put a label on it, we've got to test people who have no symptoms. This is insane.
It really is. We've been saying that all along. It really is. All right. Those of you that have questions, this is great. And I'm laughing with Dr. Kelly, not at her, because if you either got to laugh or cry, Dr. Kelly, because otherwise it's just maddening. But you have a question for Dr. Kelly, please let us know. 307-200-8222. 307-200-8222. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere. Absolute Electrical Heating and Air is coming up next. Don't forget about their AC special, which you may not need tomorrow because we've got a lot of snow coming potentially to Denver. But hey, in the meantime, give them a call, get them out, have that AC tune-up done. 720-526-0231.
Make sure your air conditioner doesn't fail on the hottest day of the year. Mention KLZ Radio when you call Absolute Electrical Heating and Air for an exclusive $49 AC tune-up, normally $89. Your Absolute technician receives weekly trainings to ensure they provide excellent customer service, meaning they will never try to sell you something you don't need. They would rather keep your HVAC systems running efficiently than try to sell you a new one, because they would rather have happy customers. As a company with longevity and integrity, Absolute will take photographs before and after your service so you have maintenance history and are seeing exactly what the professional is seeing. Even new air conditioners need regular maintenance to keep running at maximum efficiency. Your AC works the hardest on the hottest days, so make sure you're ready. Call Absolute Electrical Heating and Air for an AC tune-up, now $49, for KLZ listeners only. 720-526-0231. 720-526-0231.
For quality and service beyond compare, call Absolute Electrical Heating and Air.
All right, affordable interest mortgage, Kurt Rogers. He's going to join me in the 5 o'clock hour today. Any questions for Kurt? Again, use the text line, and we can get those to him. In the meantime, if you want to call Kurt directly, 720-895-0500.
With rates on the rise, how do you get the best rate? Take AIM, affordable interest mortgage, 720-895-0500. Did you know that when you get cash out or your FICO score is below a 740, or you're financing a condo versus a single-family home, it will cost you more in rate and fees. Many lenders are charging more. Stop paying it. At Affordable Interest Mortgage, we have lenders that don't charge. Trying to purchase a second home, or is your loan amount considered a high balance or jumbo? There they go again, charging you more. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Let us show you a loan that doesn't charge more. Seeing a low rate but not reading the small print, only to realize all the extra costs and fees? Again, stop. Call 720-895-0500. Affordable Interest Mortgage. Quit paying fees and closing costs that are unnecessary. Get a low rate without all the extra cost. Let us show you how to save thousands. Call 720-895-0500 now. Affordable Interest Mortgage. 720-895-0500. Serving Coloradans for over 20 years. NMLS 298-191. Regulated by DORA.
All right, K&R Home Transitions, Catherine and Robin, you get two realtors for the price of one. Go to klzradio.com or call 720-437-8210.
Catherine and Robin aren't afraid to get their hands dirty. Just ask to see their fingernails. Once you hire them as your real estate team, K&R Home Transitions aren't afraid to do the work no other realtor would do. If they need to, positioning your home to sell for a higher price. They roll up their sleeves and get to work. For one home foreclosure, Robin had to paint the fence outside while Catherine was painting the fireplace inside. You see, without their help, some of these homeowners would lose all their equity to the bank, walking away with nothing but damaged credit. Catherine and Robin even found a law firm willing to wait until after the sale to collect attorney fees because their client needed legal representation. The average real estate agent would never work this hard when you hire them. Call Catherine Pickering and Robin Lewis Oglesby of K&R Home Transitions now at 720-437-8210. Powered by Worth Clark Realty.
No liberal media bias here. This is Rush to Reason.
And we are back. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Myself, Dr. Kelly Victory. Charlie Grimes, of course, my engineer for the day. Steve House is out today. He should be back with us next week. A few questions that have come in. Dr. Kelly, this one I'm not sure is a question or more of just sort of a funny tie-in to what we said a moment ago. Aren't these standards for the at-home tests 90% false positive rate can't be true, right? In other words, tongue-in-cheek, right?
Yeah, no, I think I think the false positive rates are extraordinarily high. And part of it is, again, because we are testing people who are asymptomatic. Another part is because there is currently no FDA-approved test for COVID in the first place. The PCR test, which is widely used from the very beginning, was never intended to be used in the way that it is. That is an amplification technology, to be clear. The PCR tests were designed to take minuscule amounts of a genetic material, take them and amplify them so that you would make enough of it for it to be studied in a laboratory. Mm-hmm. What that means is you get an infinitesimal amount of genetic material, viral material, might not even be a whole virus, might be a little tiny fragment of a virus, not even capable of causing disease, let alone replicating or being passed on to other people. And then you replicate it. That's what they talk about with the cycle rate. You amp it up so it looks like there's a whole bunch of it, and then it reads out as a positive. The analogy I've made in the past is that it would be like finding a stray hair on the floor of your house from your dog who died 5 years ago, picking up that hair and say, well, if this hair is here, the dog must be here. No, it's a fragment that,
right,
that is inconsequential and does not want, you know, that stray piece of fur does not create a dog any more than a stray fragment of viral material makes one infected with the virus.
Makes sense. Somebody said, or really kind of a question slash statement, I wonder if cases of infectious TB crossing our border every day with unvetted illegals is going to be classified as COVID.
It's a good question. You know, we aren't testing for the things that we should be testing for,
right,
or should be worrying about. You know, they're desperately concerned that I might get on an airplane without a COVID vaccine, but you've got millions of people streaming across the border who,
true,
haven't been vaccinated for measles, polio, you know, and everything,
right,
in between.
Right.
You know, those things are really, really problematic. You've got people coming across who well could be carriers of TB. Tuberculosis, for example, I spend an awful lot of time in China on business. Tuberculosis is endemic there, meaning there are many, many, many people who are ill with tuberculosis. There are many people who have tuberculosis and don't know it because that is something that you can carry and pass on even if you're asymptomatic. That is a very different thing from a respiratory virus. So yes, I have huge concerns about all kinds of things that are coming into this country, including the, you know, massive number of people who are not vaccinated for the things that we know that are tried and true and tested, like polio.
Right. Somebody else said, I had to wear a mask this morning to see the dental hygienist and then took the mask off to see the dentist and then, of course, back on again. When will this mask insanity end? I could probably answer that one myself. I think Dr. Kelly, there'll be certain businesses that probably hang on to this thing forever. There's other businesses that I can already tell you have pretty much gone away from this thing as far as they possibly can. And honestly, this is now finally come down to, you know, really what does the employer or the owner of said business want to happen. And I've said this from the very, very, very beginning, Dr. Kelly. If a business chooses that you have to wear a yellow shirt and polka dot shoes to enter the place of business to do business there, and that's his or her rules, then so be it. Those are the rules. Go somewhere else and shop if you'd like.
Yeah, and it's really sad because it's become, there's a certain portion of the population, clearly, who believe, against all of the published data and everything we've known about science, who still believe that these masks are actually doing something. And that's
right.
Very, very sad.
Right.
Because there are people who just feel terrified and naked and somehow exposed if they go anywhere without a mask on.
Right.
Tragic.
Yep.
Tragic.
Yep.
Absolutely.
See it all the time.
But the fallacy of, as this person just said, put the mask on, take it off, put it on between sips and bites, don't you know? And this incessant reapplying of the mask when we know and have known for decades. This isn't something that we just discovered during this pandemic. We've known for decades that masks do very little, if anything at all, to stop the spread of respiratory viruses. We now have, you know, hundreds and hundreds of published studies. If you are wondering where they are, feel free to go to the website earlycovidcare.org. Mm-hmm. We have them all listed there. There's a great summary article of all of them from the Brownstone Institute, proving over and over again that not only do masks not work to stop the spread of COVID, in many cases they make it worse. And we see that places that had higher rates of mask wearing had actually higher rates of transmission and higher rates of illness. So it is, but I agree with you, it isn't likely to stop anytime soon.
Nope.
Because unfortunately we have a group of folks out there who continue to believe that there's some value in wearing these things. And I think it's tragic. It's really sad for kids in particular. Children, more than anybody, have suffered mercilessly from these masks, not only because they tend to trap more carbon dioxide and therefore really suffer from headaches and sleeplessness and anxiety and difficulty concentrating, but, you know, young children in particular, these little kids, really, it is critical for them to be able to see the faces of the people. I had a story today. I'll tell you a quick story. I was seeing patients all day today, and one of my patients came in with a service dog. And the service dog seemed very leery of me.
Okay.
And I love dogs. So I took my mask off, and I smiled at the dog. And the dog all of a sudden started wagging his tail. And I think from the dog's perspective, they are no different than a 1-year-old.
That's right.
They can't see your face. They have, and all they see are your eyes. They have no idea if you mean harm, if you have malintent, or anything else.
That's right.
And so, although I've done it a million times on airplanes with babies, it was interesting to see this animal, this dog, immediately relax and calm down and wag his tail when I smiled.
Yep. I a lot of you know this. I don't say it a lot, but I grew up, my mom's sister, so my aunt is deaf. So I grew up with, you know, I shouldn't say in the deaf community, Dr. Kelly, but around the deaf community. And I will tell you that everything you just said when it comes to understanding speech, and when you know somebody that's deaf and you're around that, you know, more than what you would, I mean, most people are never around it. I was exposed to it quite a bit growing up and still am from time to time. But when you see those sorts of things growing up, what you just said really resonates, because when you can't hear and vocalize with your vocal cords and you're relying on looking and reading lips and seeing what somebody else is visualizing, if you would, with their mouth, and you no longer have that ability, kids do the exact same thing learning speech. And for some odd reason, Dr. Kelly, I guess we're so smart we forgot all that.
Well, exactly. I've talked about that times on this show. Young children, newborns, and toddlers learn to speak far more by mouth movements than by what they hear, which is why we are seeing, as I predicted now, 2+ years into this, we are seeing huge speech delays in young children, so much so that the CDC surreptitiously, without any announcement, changed the childhood guidelines that have existed for decades in terms of how many words a child should know by 24 months. They downgraded it by dozens and dozens of words and gave them until 30 months rather than 24 months before they should know those words to meet their milestone. So rather than acknowledging, wow, we have retarded the growth and speech ability of children because of this absolute insanity done with masks during this pandemic, rather than acknowledging that, they just changed the milestone.
Yep. That's exactly right. I will tell you one more story before we take a break, and I really do think this ties in, and I wanted you to know about this anyways. We haven't had a chance to talk since. So a couple of Fridays ago, about 3 Fridays ago, took my grandkids, my boys, to the zoo. And I've told this story on air, so I won't get into all the gory details of how wild and crazy most of the public school kids are, because there was tons of kids there on field trips. What I learned, Dr. Kelly, and I didn't know this prior, so getting out into the world, even as a host, is a really good thing, because you learn all sorts of things by just, you know, interacting with the public on a regular basis. And I will tell you what I learned that day that I had no idea prior. I believe, and because I saw it with my own 2 eyes, there are now young people, kids. These were mostly elementary school kids that I was following around at the zoo. I will tell you that there is not a large percentage, but there are some that I believe are wearing masks only because it makes them different or sort of sets them apart from the rest of their classmates. And the reason I can tell you it's that and not anything else is just because of the way they were wearing it, what they were doing, and so on. These are not immune compromised kids, by the way, wearing masks. These are kids that are wanting to stand out, have attention, be different, whatever the case may be. My point is, we've now given all of these kids one more thing that they've got to actually, you know, use in their repertoire, if you would, Dr. Kelly, to be different and get noticed and whatever the case may be. And it's absolutely ridiculous that we now have kids wearing masks just to be different.
Absolutely. No, there's no question. Wait, in addition to the fact, John, that we've created an entire generation of germaphobes.
Yeah.
People who actually are feel that they need to stand 6 feet apart from other people. None of them have symptoms, but in other words, we have planted the seed, and we are teaching kids, and have spent 2.5 years doing it, that despite the fact that you are healthy, that the people around you feel healthy, that you should stay apart from them just in case. Just in case what? I mean, that's insanity.
Right,
you know,
right.
And you're talking about, you know, I'm of the generation where, you know, we grew up drinking out of the garden.
That's
hall,
right.
Sharing one Coke bottle.
And by the way, water that probably wasn't softened or treated. Let's add that into it, Dr. Kelly.
Yeah, and so I really worry about the germophobia and the virtue signaling and all of these things that the masks represent. Now, you know, I'm not making, if somebody feels that they are immune compromised or that they, you know, don't do well when they get a cold or the flu, and they somehow think that that mask is going to help them, by all means. But I'll tell you right now, the science would say that you are far better off attending to the health of your own immune system, meaning, you know, eat right, get regular exercise, supplement vitamin D and zinc, wash your hands regularly, eat an adequate diet, those sorts of things that we paid no attention to.
That's right. None. Zero. Zilch.
Not
a single PSA on that, Dr. Kelly. Not one.
Not one. So instead, you're supposed to stay indoors, distance from all your friends and family, bathe in Purell, wear a useless mask, keep breathing in the same crap you exhaled on the last time.
Yep.
And instead of really, you know, suggesting to people, wow, if we've learned nothing else, let us get out of this pandemic having learned how to care for our own immune systems and learn what to be fearful of and what not to be fearful of. Unfortunately, we've done the opposite, and we've, you know, driven people indoors, away from activities, away from, you know, social events, away from the things that would actually go a heck of a long way to making them healthier.
That's right. My son and I were talking the other day, because as you can kind of tell from my voice, this past week I've had, I don't know, either a mild cold, allergies, combination of either or. I definitely don't have COVID, I can tell you that. Don't feel bad enough to even have anything close to that. And frankly, like you said earlier, wouldn't matter one way or the other anyways. Doesn't matter at the end of the day. I'm still doing all the things I would normally do if I've got either a mild cold or allergies. So who really cares? My point is this, though. My son and I were talking this past week. And I will tell you, Dr. Kelly, that after COVID, and you know me, I get out and about. I only wear a mask when I absolutely had to during COVID. I traveled. I didn't slow down one iota. You didn't either. I did exactly everything the same way. But I will tell you that since COVID, I have had more of what I would call these, you know, mild to medium type colds in the last 18 months than I had 5 years prior. And I'm not exaggerating.
Yeah, it. I really think we've done a job on our immune systems by wearing these masks and everything else that we've done. I know that I continued to travel every bit, which may be more than average because of this pandemic and the sorts of media things that I've been involved in doing. I never stopped. I wore masks only when required to do so. The idea that we are still required to wear them on some public transport and in medical offices defies logic, and it really irritates me because of all people. I am required to do so by the organizations for which I work, but it's I am giving off the absolute wrong sign to patients because it implies that I, as a scientist, as a healthcare practitioner, believe that this is the right thing to do, and I don't. And I think God help us when we need to sound the alarm bell mm-hmm. and get the public yep. to follow us yep. again as public health
Agreed.
Professionals, because I'll tell you, most people have just tuned you out.
Agreed.
You know, the old story about the boy who cried wolf?
That's right.
Well, this is the boy who cried wolf on steroids.
Agree.
Let me tell you, because we have gotten people just where they just tune it out now, many, many people, just tune it out, and you will never get them to trust public health officials again after this debacle.
Well, and I want to go back to my theory. Don't know whether I'm right on this or not, but because everything you and I just said, which spot on, nothing that you and I have said that isn't the way things were, but given the way things were, and you know as well as I, everybody did pay a lot more attention to washing of hands, wearing of masks, distancing, all these different things. And my opinion is, even though I was out and about, even though I haven't changed my habits at all, even though I stayed as healthy as I normally would have even prior to COVID and vitamins and doing all the things that are necessary, even some extra things that we started doing during COVID that, you know, you and I started talking about. But even with all of that, still getting a, you know, cold from time to time, my theory is that my body, even though I've been out and about and I think I've done about as well as anybody out there has, even my body wasn't as built up immune-wise as it would be otherwise, because everybody else out there was doing all of these other things through COVID I just mentioned. My theory is we should have just left everything alone, told everybody to, you know, stay indoors or stay at home. If you're that immune compromised or you're that elderly or you're that worried about getting it that you might actually die from it, fine, protect yourself. But at the end of the day, we should have just kept everything open and kept doing what we'd done all along.
I agree with you, and I said that from the beginning. The reality is this virus is very mild and not problematic for the vast majority of people. And we knew from the beginning, John, who those at-risk people were, primarily the elderly, and those with a very well-defined set of comorbidities. Yep. If we look, for example, at Amish communities, the Amish and Mennonite communities, that are very insular, much like the Hasidic Jews in New York. Mm-hmm. They stay to themselves. They patronize, you know, their own stores,
right.
and they stick together. They all, you know, COVID ran wild through those communities. They got COVID very, very quickly. They all got over it, and they all had immunity. Okay?
Yep.
And they had herd immunity within months.
Yep.
But by May yep. of 2020, they were done with it. They were truly.
I truly believe the rest of us. I mean, our country. If we'd have done that, we'd have been exactly the same way. We just didn't. We took the wrong course of action.
Correct. That's correct. There's no question.
Just a side note, folks, we talk to you know, different folks when it comes to stock market investments and things along those lines. And if the rest of the country ends up being like I've been, Dr. Kelly, which is more prone to actually catch a cold and, you know, you're going to do your own at-home remedies, cough drops, things like that, probably would be best to actually buy stock in some of those companies, because I could see a lot of those products over the next 12 to 18 months being sold. I could be completely wrong, but I don't think I am, Dr. Kelly.
No, I think that you are right about that. I think that you are right, and I think we're going to see a lot of that over the next it's not going to be just a few months. I hate to break it.
It's not. No, it's going to be longer.
Yeah.
I agree.
It's going to go on for
Agreed.
A while.
All right, we got more questions. Hang tight. A few of you have texted in. I'll get those to her in just one moment. 307-200-8222 is our text line. We'll be right back. Hi-Fi Plumbing is next. Water quality, big deal, folks. It really is. Even when it comes to skin care, hair care, all of that. Make sure that you've got really good quality in your water, and that can be changed if you don't through filtration, and they can help you with all of that. Hi-Fi Plumbing, 877-WE-HIGH-FIVE or klzradio.com.
You once dreaded calling the plumber. You worried about their integrity, reliability, and overall morals. That was before you knew about High Five. Now you have a plumbing company that shares your core values of giving back to the community. On top of excellent customer service, reasonable pricing, and friendly technicians, High Five Plumbing donates $500 per month to a charitable organization no matter what. That's because the owners, Levi and Cassie, care about the communities they serve beyond potential profits. On top of that, They donate $10 of every High Five Club membership so you can be part of their charitable mission. They even give 100% of the proceeds from all apparel sold to a charitable organization of the staff's choice every month. And they donate 1% of the revenue from a service truck each month. You care about giving back to your community and you need a great plumber. Now you're not scared to call a plumber because they prove they care through customer and community service. Call 877-934-4445. Or 877-WE-HIGH-FIVE for plumbing that gives back.
Golden Eagle Financial, Al Smith, who wants to help you with your financial future. Talk to Al today. If you've got a plan, he'll test it. If you don't, you guys can make one. Whatever you need, Al is there for you when it comes to your retirement. 303-744-1128 or klzradio.com.
Maintain your budgeting momentum for retirement. Once you begin good financial habits, you're more likely to continue them. If you procrastinate, you're likely to continue procrastinating. A good plan will help your financial momentum, allowing you to see numerical projection of what it's going to take. Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial will help you strategize a great retirement plan that will include a clear picture of where you are now and an image of what you want your future to look like and include the steps necessary to get you there. With Al Smith's help, you'll learn how much you need to save in order to achieve your financial goals. Provide yourself with income that will last with the momentum of good habits. Al Smith can help people who are newly retired or have a 5 to 10 year window before leaving the labor force. You need to be realistic about your retirement with financial planning from Al Smith at Golden Eagle Financial. Visit klzradio.com/money to maintain or establish budgeting momentum for your retirement.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason.
All right, we are back. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. I try to get all these questions in and keep sending them. If I don't get them all in, I'll either save them for next week or I can even ask Dr. Kelly after the program. Somebody just called in. I think this is a big one, just given everything that's going on right now in the country, Dr. Kelly. Baby formula, short supply, goat's milk. Is that a replacement or not? And if so, how do you sanitize it and make it useful?
No, unfortunately, I would be really out of line to be recommending that. I would not recommend it. You know, there are ways to make homemade formula, you know, and it was a time when we, you know,
that's
not
right.
Everybody bought baby formula, you know, it was kind of whole milk and Karo syrup and you
right.
know, a combination of those sorts of things. But I would not be supplementing some other form of milk, whether it's goat milk or sheep's milk or cow milk, without really going through it with your pediatrician to make sure that you're adding the adequate nutrients that you would need. Likewise, you know, this idea of women donating breast milk, you know, breast milk is a biologic compound. You know, there are things that can be carried in breast milk that you don't necessarily want to be transferred from one individual to another. So, again, I don't believe that that's necessarily safe practice. But the best thing to do is for people to consult with their pediatrician. There certainly are ways to make homemade formula to supplement until we get this disaster sorted out. But I wouldn't recommend supplementing with goat milk.
And by the way, I agree with Dr. Kelly. Part of why you've not heard me even bring any, you know, special guests on or talk about it at all, because frankly, that's just out of my wheelhouse completely. I'm not a chemist. I have no idea what's right, what's wrong. I don't know your baby. Frankly, you don't either. This is where Dr. Kelly just said, you know, you and your pediatrician need to figure that out. And I'm guessing, too, with what you just said a moment ago, Dr. Kelly, that, you know, formula was most likely invented for numerous reasons, but one of them probably being because of what you just said, because back in the day, that's what wet nurses, that's where that name came from. Wet nurses were for back in the day. And, you know, one mother didn't have milk, another mother did, or even, you know, certain individuals, that's what they did on a daily basis. And I'm guessing because of what you just said on just what could be passed from, you know, a person to person, that formula eliminates all of that. And I'm guessing that was part of the invention of, am I thinking correctly?
Truly the invention, I think, of baby formula really was, it was like everything else. It was a convenience.
The okay.
same way, it came around the same time that we, you know, fast food came into, you know, women were going back into the workforce or for some of them entering the workforce for the first time ever. So the idea of necessarily saying that you're going to have a baby and stay home really, really changed. So, you know, fast food came up, you know, during the 50s. and 60s, primarily as a result of women going back into the workforce. Baby formula, likewise, although it was available before for that group of people who didn't have adequate breast milk, or for whatever reason, a child was orphaned, or, you know, adoptive parents, those sorts of things. So there was formula out there, but it wasn't nearly as prevalent as it became when women started going into deciding that they were going to have a baby and go back to work right away. Also, there's no question that, you know, European countries, you know, give mothers, new mothers, a lot more time off so that they are able to stay home and conveniently breastfeed. So I think there's a lot of reasons, but I think convenience was a huge part of it.
Okay.
And again, with regard to coming up with, you know, what could you substitute for formula, you know, so many factors. And the reason I don't feel comfortable opining on it is there's a whole difference between, you know, are you talking about a 3-week-old baby?
That's right.
Or are you talking about a 9-month-old
baby? That's right.
Are you talking about a baby that's eating some solid food? You know, those sorts of things. So there are just too many variables. So
right.
The answer really is to consult with your pediatrician.
Fully agree. This was actually Charlie and I were talking during one of the breaks. And I don't, we've talked about this in the past, and I don't want to, you know, belabor this, but some of the liver issues we're seeing with children now, and it's even happening here in Colorado, hepatitis and so on. And I read all sorts of things. It's linked to vaccine. It's not linked to the vaccine. It sort of is on this seesaw back and forth. Has there been any solid evidence either way that, you know, these kids aren't vaccinated or are, or is it just coincidence? I mean, it just seems awfully coincidental that we have all this going on after we've gone through this huge vaccine push for the past, you know, year plus.
Absolutely. Now, there are some, and it appeared to me early on, I'll be very, you know, clear, it appeared to me that it was likely vaccine related. There's no question, John, that some of the studies are reporting incidence of increase in hepatitis cases, which prior to this was very, very rare in children, in kids who weren't vaccinated. So then the question became, are these kids who aren't vaccinated, who are still coming out with hepatitis, were they somehow exposed to this toxic spike protein of COVID via this sort of viral shedding, or, you know, shedding of the spike protein because they are near people who were vaccinated? That has yet to be proven. There's still some question out there whether this could be related to another virus, specifically an adenovirus. I'm not seeing that. I think there's no question that some percentage of them are related, you know, to the vaccines themselves, because, as I've said, we have seen an uptick in not just hepatitis, but in all of the itises.
Right.
Inflammatory
right.
processes, pericarditis, myocarditis, tinnitus, hepatitis, nephritis, itis, and I said this on a previous show, but it bears repeating, itis in medicine, and it means inflammation. So when you hear itis at the end of a word, it simply means inflammation. Commonly, that inflammation is caused by infection, such as in the case of tonsillitis or appendicitis. But it can be caused, and in these cases of myocarditis, pericarditis, hepatitis, neuritis, tinnitus, it is not a result of infection. It appears to be an autoimmune inflammatory reaction. And the question is, why all, particularly children, young adolescents,
Dr. Kelly, we lost you. Hey, tell you what, I'm going to put her on hold. Charlie, get her back and get her into a nice spot there. I'll take a quick break. We'll come back. I have a couple more questions for Dr. Kelly. Don't worry. We'll get her back. She'll get to a good spot here cell-wise. Veteran Windows and Doors is up next, folks. And get them out. Get your windows and doors looked at, estimated. You can get educated on what's best for your home, and they can help you with all of that. Dave will come right out and do that for you. He's one of the owners and the estimator. They use Previa Windows and Doors, 303-529-0720.
Veteran Windows and Doors proves that you can save people money while maintaining high standards. Owner Dave Bancroft believes product and service should stand alone. You shouldn't need to manipulate customers into spending more money. So when the company he worked for started hiring psychiatrists to train their sales staff, he left. Naming his own company after his military service, Veteran Windows and Doors, Dave chose to focus on quality rather than volume. He stands behind his product and service with a transferable lifetime warranty on all windows and doors, plus a 5-year guarantee on labor above and beyond the industry standard. Dave doesn't hire salespeople. Instead, he visits every customer personally to educate them on the product. Without the overhead of a giant sales team, Dave can offer the same high-quality windows and doors for a fraction of the price. No gimmicky pitches, no hiked-up prices, just quality windows and doors with service straight from Dave. Call Veteran Windows and Doors for a comparison quote now, 303-529-0720.
All right, up next, Bruce Simmons, our reverse mortgage specialist. If that's something you're interested in, Bruce can educate you on that as well, 303-467-7821, or find him at klzradio.com.
A reverse mortgage line of credit provides a guaranteed safety net in any economic environment. Bruce Simmons started specializing exclusively in reverse mortgages almost 20 years ago, before the recession of 2008. He has seen interest rates and home values in Colorado rise and fall. Although higher interest rates may limit the amount of equity available to you immediately, you still have a good chance of qualifying thanks to high home values. Establish a standby line of credit to protect your other assets. That way, in the event of a market decline, you won't need to withdraw funds at a depreciated rate. Regardless of market conditions, a reverse mortgage allows homeowners 62 years and older with enough equity built up in their homes to unlock a portion of their home's value. Ask Bruce Simmons to set up a reverse mortgage line of credit now. Then, once interest rates drop again, Bruce can help you refinance at very little cost, pulling out even more money. Call 303-467-7821. NMLS 409914. American Liberty Mortgage is an equal housing lender.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Dr. Kelly is back. And hey, cell service, still just a little radio, right, Dr. Kelly? We kind of forget sometimes that that's all a cell phone is.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry because I'm actually parked.
You're
in
fine.
My car, but I wasn't moved.
It happens.
I could hear you loud and clear, so I figure it must be the NSA when they don't like.
There you go. All right, so question. This is actually somebody in our office here, which this was a great question. I was going to ask you last week, and then you weren't able to be with us, so I just tabled it until this week. What vitamins should folks that did get the vaccine, because some did, no judgment. If you did, you did. It's just the way it is. Are there specific vitamins, though, that somebody that got a vaccine should take over somebody that didn't take, or does it not make any difference one way or the other?
No, and I appreciate the question. I don't think there's anything different that you should do if you got vaccinated. And like you, John, I respect anyone's decision to have done it. Many people did it out of requirement.
Yep.
Many people did it because they felt that they were protecting others in their home and everything in between. So if you got vaccinated, you're vaccinated. If you didn't have relatively quick adverse events, then hopefully you won't. People who had things like blood clots and that sort of thing, we're likely going to have them in the first days and weeks, if not, the very first month or so. So that's good news. But no, I don't think there's anything in particular that people who are vaccinated should do over others in terms of supplements. I think that if we learned anything during this pandemic, it gave me an opportunity to remind people how prevalent vitamin D deficiency is in this country, more so depending on what latitude you're living at and how much time you spend outdoors. But you just aren't getting enough through dietary intake. And so supplementing vitamin D is really helpful for your immune system. And we know that zinc is an excellent antiviral, not just for COVID, but for colds and flus and everything in between.
Right.
But I don't think there's a difference in between vaccinated people and unvaccinated people and what they should take.
Another great question. I've gotten this one, by the way, from several different people. And if this was a car question, I'd have this one dialed in, but it's not. It's a doctor question. So folks that are looking for a different primary doctor, because in some cases, they've either had a primary doctor that has bought into everything that we basically stand against, hook, line, and sinker. So some of these folks are looking for new primary doctors that aren't going to push vaccines and other things on them. And they're really looking for folks that are more, like-minded like you and I are. Of course, I'm not a doctor, nor would I ever be one. You guys are far too smart for me. But at the end of the day, how do you find a new primary care physician, one that actually has, the mindset you do?
Well, I'll tell you, it's tough because unfortunately the majority of people, I fear, have bought into this or simply aren't willing to push back.
Yeah,
and any physician, I think, who's not willing to push back on the CDC, on the FDA, on their own medical boards or whatever else and say, wait a minute, you know, I've done my own research and this is what it shows, I think really isn't worth you having them as your physician because they sold out this time. They'll do
agree.
It. They'll sell out again
I agree.
The next time. So in terms of how to do it, you know, you have every right to interview a doctor before you sign on with that individual. So that's one way to do it. You also can get some information from some of the websites, including earlycovidcare.org. We have a list on that website of physicians by state. Now, obviously, it's by, you know, not in any way, you know, comprehensive. There are many areas of the country that aren't even listed on that list, but you might be worth you going and looking and going to that state and city and seeing if there are physicians who have listed themselves on the website. And what they're saying is not that they're anti-vaccine, not that they're pro-ivermectin, not that they're anti or pro anything, simply that they are a group, they're people who have identified themselves as open to hearing all sides, and certainly they believe, like I do, that the relationship between a physician and a patient is sacrosanct. The mm-hmm. government does not belong in that exam room. Nobody should be making those decisions about medical care other than that patient and me as their physician. So I would recommend, you know, trying going that way. And then again, it's good old word of mouth. Who do you know who has a physician who they like and who's been willing to consider alternative therapies or is willing to consider, you know, whether or not some of these mandates actually made good scientific and medical sense?
All right. I'll leave you with that. Dr. Kelly, thank you always for your time. The hour goes by really, really fast. Folks, again, if you've got questions for her, keep texting. I can get those answered or I'll table them until next week. If it's a really general question I think fits everybody, we'll do that. 307-200-8222. But Dr. Kelly, as always, thank you so much for your time. You've been a huge blessing. I cannot tell you how many comments I get time and time again, literally week after week, that are just so appreciative of what you do, the time you take with us, Steve, as well. Folks really look forward to this hour, and I do as well, and I appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me, and I'll look forward to next Thursday.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Kelly. Again, Dr. Kelly Victory, find her on our website, rushtoreason.com. She's got her own page there. Let's do this. Barber's Foods is next. It's Ranch Fresh Meats. So there's going to be most likely some food shortages. If nothing else, prices are going to go up. You can defend against that. There's some great specials right now on Ranch Fresh Meats. There's also some specials that'll be running through Father's Day and so on. So if you want not only the best quality meat at the best prices, but want to stock up and be ahead of some of these, what I believe will be price increases and or lack of as we go through the summer, go to ranchfreshmeats.com. Well, thank you, Charlie. So it's just me for now. I got a couple minutes left here. Okay, so, well, real quick, what Charlie just told me is we moved Ranch Fresh Meats into next hour to give Dr. Kelly some more time there. But, yeah, you can find them, by the way. Just go there. And it goes along with everything we just did talk about, though, because, you know, Dr. Kelly, she's a big believer in making sure that we're healthy as possible, not only taking all of the vitamins that she recommends, which you heard her talk about that during the hour that she was just with us, but that's eating healthy as well. I'll just give Greg a little extra plug here because he does have the literal best meat on the market. I believe that sincerely. All right, I also got something I want to announce for tomorrow. I'll do this as we go through the program a little bit later today, but we've got a very special guest joining Andy and I in the 5 o'clock hour tomorrow in person. Typically, most of the guests we get like this are call-in guests, but we've got a very special author that will be joining us tomorrow night at 5 o'clock. And it's actually, believe it or not, it's a New York Times bestseller, Jack Carr, which a lot of you guys will enjoy. This is the particular author. He's a Navy SEAL, done all sorts of things along those lines. And he's got a new book out, In the Blood. It's the fifth thriller of the Terminal List. In fact, there's a movie coming out on Amazon Prime about it. It's The Terminal List, starring Chris Pratt as Navy SEAL sniper James Reese. So this will be great. You'll enjoy tomorrow at 5 o'clock. It kind of follows up with all of our movie things we do on Fridays as well. And again, we sort of take some time off of the political end of things, although I'm guessing that Jack probably is right in line with us. And he was going to be in town today, asked, hey, can I just come into the studio instead of calling in? And I said, well, absolutely, of course you can. We would love to have you. So he will be joining us tomorrow at 5. How long he'll stay, I have no idea, but we're really looking forward to it. So if you're around tomorrow night at 5, listen in. If you know other people that are fans of Jack's, by all means, have them listen at 5 o'clock as well. But otherwise, we're going to be back. I got another full hour coming your way. Don't forget, Kurt Rogers is going to join us at 5 o'clock as well. But Doug Blair is going to join us here in just 1 minute from Heritage and Daily Signal. Don't go anywhere. Hour 2 is next. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.